At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Nobody by Zakaria Shuklala. Adam stepped out of his apartment, dressed in what he believed to be effortless elegance. A crisp white t-shirt, tailored black trousers, and spotless white sneakers he had recently purchased from a boutique store. Every piece was meticulously chosen, not to shout for attention, but to sprout refinement. To him, simplicity was the highest form of sophistication. And he carried himself like a man who believed others noticed this quiet perfection. On his wrist gleamed his fancy watch, his daily companion, his symbol of precision, his badge of self-importance. He locked the door behind him, inhaled deeply, and felt the soft stare of morning air brushing against his face. Sliding into his car, a leather-seated masterpiece he liked to describe as classic yet luxurious, he turned the engine on, rolled down the windows, and joined the chaos of the city. Each honk he heard was, to him, an ambiguous sound. Were they honking at him in admiration or envy? The thought pleased him either way. In this culture, honking during weddings symbolized joy and excitement. That made it easier for him to imagine that perhaps, subconsciously, the city celebrated him every morning. As he drove, he leaned back in his seat, eyes half closed, playing out a fantasy in which he was a monarch escorted by invisible guards, medics, and ministers. The illusion was intoxicating. Despite the short distance, it took him nearly 30 minutes to reach the office, not because of traffic, but because he refused to rush. A king, after all, did not hurry. When he entered the elevator, he felt eyes turning toward him, as they often did. He could almost sense their silenced admiration, their envy disguised as casual glances. He sensed a faint shift in the room, the quiet attention that followed him everywhere. Of course, they stared, he thought. They always do. And perhaps he was right. People did look, but not in the way he believed. As he walked toward his office, one of his colleagues called out, "Hey, Adam." He didn't respond. Over time, he had learned that silence bred respect. People valued what they had to repeat themselves to say. "Adam, wait a second. Don't tell me you're wearing your AirPods again at work." The man shouted again, half laughing. Adam turned his head slightly, but said nothing. His AirPods weren't even on. He simply wore them as armor to project busyness. If people thought he was always occupied, they would value his time more. If they believed he was free, they would devalue him, and he couldn't allow that. "Sorry," he finally said, feigning surprise. "What's going on?" "We've got an emergency meeting. You are needed there ASAP, like right now." Adam glanced at him, unimpressed. To rush at someone else's command was beneath him. "Of course," he replied slowly. "But I need to make an urgent call first. I'll catch up with you." The man left, slightly deflated, while Adam stood motionless for a while, pretending to scroll through his phone. There was no call to make, just the ritual of assuming importance. When he finally entered the meeting room, all heads turned. He arrived late, as always. It was part of his performance. To him, punctuality was for the desperate. "Adam late as usual," someone muttered in the background. He turned sharply. "Excuse me? Who are you talking to?" His voice dripped with disdain. "Who asked for commentary? Go get me some coffee before I fire you." A dark cloud fell over the room. One of the executive, a man Adam barely acknowledged, looked at him straight in the eye and said, "You are firing nobody today, Adam. In fact, you are the one getting fired." Adam smirked. Clever way to break the ice. Jokes aside, let's get down to brass tacks. Silence stretched long and heavy. Then came the word that shattered his illusion. "That's not a joke. You're done here. You're consistently late, arrogant, and disrespectful. You've contributed nothing to this company for months. Pack your things, you're finished." He laughed nervously. "You can't be serious." But they were. Someone else spoke, a voice Adam didn't even recognize. "The market crashed this morning. We've lost 90% of our value. Everyone's been here since 5, trying to find a way out, but you were nowhere to be seen. You're oblivious to everything that doesn't revolve around you." Adam froze. His pulse quickened. "No," he muttered. "That can't be right." The world tilted slightly. The fluorescent plates hummed louder. Everyone's faces blurred into grotesque shapes. "This must be a dream," he whispered. "I'm dreaming?" Then, without thinking, he slammed his head against a wall to wake himself up, to make it stop. Blood trickled down his forehead. The room erupted in laughter. "He thinks he's dreaming!" Someone shouted, their voice on repeat in his head. Humiliation burned through him. He stumbled out of the room, bleeding and dazed, clinging to the fading remnants of his dignity. The city outside no longer felt like the same place. The honking cars didn't sound celebratory anymore. The glances he once interpreted as admiration were now indifference or pity. The air felt heavier, colder, almost hostile. He muttered to himself as he walked to his car. "You don't see me the same anymore. You've changed. Something's wrong." Inside his head, a storm brewed. Disbelief, denial, fury. Was it possible all this time, the attention he'd felt, the validation he'd imagined, was never real, that it had all been a projection, a fragile empire built on delusion? "No," he spoke under his breath. "No, I am important. I'm different." He started the car, his hands trembling slightly. Driving through the city, he saw people he'd never noticed before. A beggar laughing with a family of three. A street performer surrounded by applause, just ordinary people, radiant in their small joys. He felt something twist inside him, disgust, envy, confusion. "Why them?" he said in a hushed tone. "Why do they get attention? They're nobodies." He continued walking after parking, unable to face going home. He passed a store with a large glass window and glanced at his reflection, then froze. The man staring back at him. The reflection was disheveled, overweight, his clothes ill-fitted and wrinkled, his face pale and lined. A cheap watch clung to his wrist. Not the $10,000 fancy watch he'd proudly worn that morning. "No," he said through clenched teeth. "That's not me." He touched his belly. The fabric stained. His breathing quickened. "This is a trick. This is a trick," he thought. "Your glass must be warped." He leaned closer, searching for the real version of himself. The poised, elegant man he remembered. But all he saw was this stranger, hollow-eyed and trembling. "I'm taller," he muttered. "Fitter. My hair isn't thinning. My teeth are white. I'm not a smoker." Yet, the reflection on the mirror held a cigarette between shaking fingers. Panic gripped him. He turned away, stumbling down the street. A breath ragged. The city seemed to warp around him. Every face he passed looked faintly familiar, yet indifferent, as though they'd all once known him and decided to forget. He stopped at Starbucks, hoping a mundane ritual might anchor him. But as he waited in line, someone tapped his shoulder. "Hey, Adam," a stranger said casually, and nobody dared to touch him. "Heard DTF laid some of the inventory staff today. Tough break, man." Adam blinked. "Inventory staff?" He repeated. "I was an executive there." The man looked at him strangely. "Right, sure. Hang in there, buddy." Adam's heart pounded. He must have confused me with someone else. he told himself. Another item, a coincidence? But then he noticed a badge clipped to his shirt. Adam Caliber, inventory department. His throat went dry. He fled the cafe, his mind unraveling. On the way home, a street vendor blocked his path. Adam, you owe me money, remember? The market crashed, I need it now. Adam stared at him, bewildered. Another nobody. I owe you money? Impossible. I live in a mansion, man. I don't borrow from nobodies. He ran, breath heaving until his knees buckled. As he ran, his pocket jingled. Keys, coins, a folded piece of paper. On the paper, an address. He followed it instinctively, hoping for clarity. The address led him to a decaying apartment building. The smell of damn rot filled the corridor. He knocked on the door marked 4. No answer. But a voice from down the hall called, Adam! The rent's overdue again! You didn't pay last month either! I'm evicting you next week! He ignored it and opened the door. A putrid wave of odor hit him. Mold, sweat, old food, despair. The room was chaotic, littered with scraps and broken furniture. On the floor lay clothes he vaguely recognized. This isn't home, he whispered. It can't be. He turned to leave, but the weight in his chest grew unbearable. His vision blurred. The room swayed. He stumbled forward, gasping, and then everything went black.